in it. Oh, it's got the heating on. I've only just come in.
Okay, stop moaning. Quiet in the studio. We're about to rock and roll. Two grumpy old men and one youngster.
Obviously, yeah, Mark. Much, I like being called young.
I was talking about Mark.
Nah, I'll take the grumpy mantle, to be honest.
Okay.
Oh, it's great being grumpy.
Yeah.
All right. Three, two, one.
I even have my
Shut up. Are you going to get muted? Well, hello there. This is Jonathan Starkey, your absolutely fabulous host of Jesha Matters. I am the original AbFab. Honestly, I'm telling you.
He thinks he's fabulous. He's I do. I about do. Himself every week.
I do.
I'm fabulous.
That's right. Okay. Now, we know that we have the Raven on board, so we only have to introduce Statsman. Statsman, say hello, sir.
Hello. Well, massive hello to all our lovely listeners, and of course, you guys.
Okay. Yes, we're listening to your stats because we know that you have the facts about what's going on. That's true. All right, Raven, go ahead.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely fabulous week ahead, hopefully. And I hope you're all well. Hope you're all listening into the amazing sort of news that we deliver. Thoughtful, provoking, a little bit humorous at times. We're missing the gazelle tonight.
Usually, hey, wait a minute. That's not your job. Shut up. Shut up now. Right, that's it. Muted. That's it. Okay. You might have support in Scotland, but not anymore down here. That's it. Okay. I am saying that the gazelle is not here this evening, and I am saying
you've been slagging him off already.
I'm going to start to slag him off right now. He's a wussy. He's got a sore throat and a headache. Oh,
excuse me, he might have fell off his ladder or something like that.
No, he didn't do anything of the sort. I mean, what do you mean? The ladder in his kitchen? That's normally on the video.
So what's wrong with the gazelle then?
Well, sore throat, headaches.
Time of the month.
That's what I think. That's what I think.
Is it a bit that way? A bit feminine?
Oh.
A little bit.
It could be.
You know, if it had known, I would have brought some champagne.
Well, yes, just to celebrate, because now we're going to find out if the podcast is actually shorter without the gazelle, because we have the Raven in the house. And this will prove it conclusively. If this podcast is longer than usual, it is the Raven. Conclusive.
Well, excuse me, it's usually the gazelle rabbiting on right through these podcasts.
No.
It is.
No. I'm sorry. That's just not the truth. That is not factually true.
Well, I don't know.
I'm the man that does the editing, so I know.
Has he sent in a sick note? This is a
big
issue.
No sick note. All he's done is no. Well, it was just a text. Just a text message to say.
You don't do that when you're at work. You're not allowed to just send a text. You have to phone in and speak to your manager to make sure the communication gets through, and you have to speak to your manager when you're ill. You can't just send a text in.
I know.
Put him on a warning.
All right, I will do.
Automatic mute for 5 minutes next week.
It's going in. Hey,
Simbin.
He's got a sore throat and a headache. I actually worked through a podcast with a fracture in my shoulder.
Oh, for 12 weeks? Every week for 12
every
weeks?
Week,
absolute hero. My question is, given his antics half the time, why has he got a sore throat? That's the thing.
I was going to ask that.
Okay, well, that's enough slagging off of the gazelle. Let's move on to the roundup. And now this is going to be one that gets Mark. Woman wins £25,000 in UK's first sex discrimination tribunal. Now, ask me.
Go on, please explain how that works.
This trans woman wins £25,000 because the council did not change the worker's identity on its systems.
So the biological man.
Yes.
Identifies as a woman.
And the council didn't change its systems. So because the council didn't change its systems, she was given the compensation. And that included $21,000 for injury to feelings.
What?
So well, this on is... that basis, I've owed a serious amount of money for hurt for my feelings on this show. Absolutely. So,
let's put this into context so you can now identify as anything you want. And if your employer doesn't agree, you can then get money from them. Is that correct?
Or if the lawyer, if the employer does not change the name on the systems.
Can I just point something out?
I actually put a request in. I asked one of my managers at work recently to use my chosen pronoun because I identify as handsome. And I said, I'd like to be addressed as handsome.
You never get away with that.
Well,
no. So yeah, right. Okay. I could advocate for any of the employers that didn't change his name to handsome. Or his pronoun to handsome over the years. But anyway, go ahead, Mark.
Was their change of gender or sex done legally? Have they got a certificate?
Yes, by law. They've got everything.
So then that therefore means then the work have to change that name, otherwise they're going to get...
Well, they wouldn't have won in court otherwise. You know, it's as simple as that. Okay. They took 2 years to change the employee's details on her pension records, door pass, and name on the staff directory after she transitioned. Her work locker had a post-it note on it with her previous name crossed out, a new name written instead, an employment tribunal heard.
Right. See, I thought... there was a precedent where someone won in court where you actually have the right under the Equality Act not to go along with this as well.
Well, okay. Well, we should take it up with Kingston Council if we're actually going to find out. And the tribunal took place in South London and was told that the woman worked on transport projects for the council in Southwest London. So there you go.
Did they have a full sex change, do you know?
I don't know. That I don't know. I mean, you're talking about with all the bits chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Or they just come into work one day dressed as a woman.
And that's it.
And then, demanded the world.
Well, how many different cases like this are actually going to start to come up? Because if they haven't had the bits chopped off.
Loads. Because I'm going to identify as the king again and I want my castles back and my palace. So, Charlie boy, shit.
That belongs to me. We took them in the first place. You've got no chance, lads. Keep your hands off.
Okay. All right. And now here's a sad one here. A mum with incurable cancer has to pay £7,000 every 3 weeks just to stay alive.
What?
Yeah.
Where is this?
Well, this is literally, let's get the story up, just 1 second. Here it is. All right. The mum with incurable cancer pays £7,000 for life-extending drug Enhertu because it only given on the NHS to patients with certain tumours. How about that?
That is appalling. That is an appalling situation in this
country. And yeah, anybody that comes to this country can get medical treatments and then they just disappear and nobody gets the money. And yet to our own people, that's it.
That needs to change. So certain tumours, they can give it to people with certain tumours, but other people, they can't.
Well,
that doesn't really make any sense because it's helping both people and both those tumours obviously need that specific treatment.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. She's already forked out £60,000 just to stay alive a little bit longer.
Well, what if you didn't have the money? You're just dead then.
Yeah, you'll just die.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
So basically...
Chris Country's going to the dogs. I think it's already gone to the dogs, to be honest.
Well, yeah. I would agree with you there. And it's just one of those things. And you sit back and you just go, what the hell? You know, these people from Nice... they're detached from reality.
Imagine being the person selling these to these people and making all this money.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people have got to make a living, but morally, I don't think I could do that, to be honest.
I would just give it to them. I'm slightly lost for words in situations like this,
to be honest. I really am where somebody's survival depends on sort of handing over huge swathes of money every so often like this. It's appalling.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's another one for you, and this is a funny one because this happened to any of us. A patient who was declared dead by paramedics wakes up in hospital hours later. Ambulance service apologizes for causing distress to the family as it launches probe. How about that?
Oh, that could have been a bit... that could have gone wrong.
Well, that's called the Northeast Ambulance Service, and they're the ones that have issued the apology. And the Daily Mail are asking, do you know the patient involved? Well, if it had been me and it had been the Raven, I'd have said, yeah, he's dead. No, I'm not. Yes, you are, Steve. You're dead. Do everybody a favour.
This doesn't really sort of ring with a whole load of confidence for me, to be quite honest with you. Now, question I have to ask is, where did this person end up in the hospital when they were discovered to not actually be dead?
Obviously, it's got to be the morgue, hasn't it?
Well, I tell you what, that'd be frightening waking up in there, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you woke up and you saw all these dead people around, you'd be thinking, I see dead people.
I just think I was on the podcast again.
Look, this isn't something that people really make a mistake with.
I'm struggling with this one as well.
I've heard of this before actually happening, yes.
Well, there you go. So that is it. All right, let's move it on. Okay. Now, Steve, this is one for you. It's definitely one for you.
I can't wait. What's this about?
Steve, you've got to get it. It's the fat jab.
The what?
You need two or three of them.
The fat jab that can help you lose a fifth of your weight.
I just want to ask a
question.
In that
case, he needs four.
Just one
second.
Well,
we already got it for his Christmas present. Steve, you're on.
I bought you one too, and so is Trav.
Are you seriously suggesting to me a fat jab? Are you suggesting to... Have you checked the mirror? What mirror do you use every morning? I want to know. What do you...
My mirror is one of those fun mirrors that you get... Yeah. Get us a fun palace.
My word. I don't know what you see in your head when you look in the mirror.
I'll tell you, I know what I see in my head. I see, what the hell am I doing with that guy? Anyway, the fat jab that can help you lose a fifth of your weight. Tirzepatide is hailed as the King Kong of anti-obesity treatment. A drug hailed the King Kong of the weight loss jabs has been found to help slimmers lose almost a fifth of their weight. What the hell?
I don't buy into this. I'm going to say a little piece on this. Actually, I don't really buy into drugs and stuff for losing weight.
I do.
Unless people have serious medical issues, then that's different.
I like the ones that make you happy.
Well, to be honest, I think good diet and exercise and a good outlook on life and various other things and stuff like that, that's where it's at. I don't buy into all this immediate fix of drugs and pills and jabs and stuff. No, I'm not.
No, well, like Steve says, this isn't encouraging people, is it, to live healthily and eat healthily and do exercise. This is encouraging people to just do whatever they want and then it's right, I'll take a tablet. But
I like the idea of that. I want to eat pizza, I want to eat fries, I want to eat all those things and then take a pill and then just go, bye-bye fat.
I didn't ask this question after the last few years, but has there been like decent trials on this and what... What's the evidence it works?
Well, it's been approved
by NICE.
Or are
people now just taking whatever they're told to without actually checking?
It's been approved by NICE.
Well, there's been things approved the last few years that weren't even trialed. So.
Yeah. No, I go with that. Okay.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we've got all this message.
Steve,
about
it's
health.
For you. We've got it as a Christmas present. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to become skinny. So there you go. All right,
well, I'm not far off, to be honest with you. But there's too many, all these apps for fast food deliveries. There's that many fast food delivery companies now all over this country. People sat at home just ordering fast food. That needs to stop.
I'm telling you, Steve, look at how many Ubers you can order. I mean, you were talking after Christmas, you're going to be going on a real tirade. Oh, give me that pizza. Give me those hamburgers. Give me those fries.
I don't really eat pizza at all.
Yeah, but I've seen you on a trip to Scotland, go through four bars of chocolate or chocolate-based stuff.
Yeah, but it's a long trip.
Oh, yeah.
Those big bars, was it?
Yeah, big bars. Mm. Okay, let's move it on. Okay, so we know that Steve's going to be coming skinny after Christmas. There you go.
Yeah.
Poland's ruling right-wing nationalists faced... God, I've got to get this right. They face being kicked out of power. So you know what's going to happen, don't you?
Who's this?
Yeah.
Poland's ruling right-wing nationalists, the ones that have been keeping all the migrants out. They're losing power. So it looks like Donald Tusk. Do you remember him from the EU?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, Tusk...
How on earth have the Polish people turned this around so badly?
Don't know.
One of the safest countries in Europe. I just, again, I question these elections if this is the result. I'm sorry.
Well, the opposition parties are going to get together and they're going to open the doors to the migrants. It's going to happen. So that's Poland gone, in my opinion. Okay, so sad note there, right, for all sensible people. But there you go. Now, okay, I saw a video of a man who saves his dog from being drowned by a kangaroo. Now, it didn't look to me like the kangaroo was drowning the dog. It looked like the kangaroo was doing something else.
Okay. That wasn't the one where he punched the kangaroo, was it?
Well, he did, in actual fact. It came out like a kung fu fight. It came out and he...
That a while back.
And the kangaroo just... squared up to him, you know. stood up to him and I thought, Jesus, how is he going to get his paws out of the water as it is? But the dog got away. You know, that was it, you know, so... Everything was okay. Everything was okay.
But I'll sleep better now.
I suddenly left the planet normal and arrived in a bizarre place. We've got a story about kangaroos fighting with dogs and being rescued by their owners here. What's going on?
I think it just takes the edge off what we're going to talk about in a minute.
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Here's another one. Peter Bone, okay, loses the Tory whip for bullying and sexually harassing an ex-aide.
Oh.
How about that? He was one of our main Brexit supporters.
Of course he was.
So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he split up from his wife. And I literally had the impression that he was a good guy. Okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, but until it goes through the process and you get the full details, again, I'm just going to take it with a pinch of salt because accusations are just being thrown around left, right and centre these days.
Well, the watchdog is recommended. As recommended, he serves a 6-week commons ban for bullying and sexually harassing a former aide.
Okay. Is that it then? So if this was a serious offence and he did harass someone and bully them, think that's quite up to scratch.
Well, let's see. He's been accused of exposing himself to this aide on a business trip and demanded office massages, according to an independent expert panel. And I kind of think along your lines, I want to see, once it's actually proven, let's see the facts of what's coming out. You know, but it's a total of 5 allegations against him. So that's why...
Is it different people or the same person?
I think it's the same person. And he said that the allegations against him were false and untrue and made by an ex-employee who made them years after leaving their employment with him. So he's actually off to get legal advice.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an open mind until we know a bit more, I think.
Okay, well, there you go. So it's not uncommon for anybody that exposes themselves to be associated with the Tories, though. Come on now, be honest. Be honest. No, nobody going to comment on that. Ah, you wimps.
Oh, no. If it's true, I can fully believe it.
Okay, well,
innocence until proven guilty through the proper processes.
Except where it's the Conservatives, because I think I bet you a pound to a penny that it's going to come out as, well, let's just go back to the case of Chris Matheson. What was that all about, Steve? Well, innocent until proven guilty.
Well,
you were like the Spanish Inquisition with that guy.
Well, you know.
No, we didn't hear about it until right late, and then it was...
No, well, he resigned. Up, I mean, he resigned over the matter, so that's quite telling in itself, really. But, you know, and he apologised to the City of Chester, Mr. Matheson, for whatever went on, which really is one of those nonchalant phrases that doesn't really mean anything, really, in my view. If that was all correct, then he did disgrace the City of Chester, in my view, but... I think we've said it before many times over, it's time for better standards in public life.
Well, yes, okay, we can go with that. All right, okay, now, amongst some of the other stories, we're going to move on to the national now, and I'm just going to pump a few things in to everybody to just get them primed. Isn't it amazing? Putin as arrives in China to meet President Xi in a rare international trip. I mean, because that guy doesn't go anywhere. So I think, you know, there's something going on. And the British have announced a 10 million humanitarian aid for civilians in occupied Palestinian territories. How about that? 10 million of our money going into Palestine right now.
You know where that's going to, though, don't you?
It's going to Hamas.
Well, the Americans are actually looking into where the weapons they've got have come from Ukraine via America, because they all seem to be holding American weaponry.
Yeah.
So the Republicans want to go into it and find out if any of those weapons actually belong to them.
And then that means
that'll get blocked.
Yeah, that'll get blocked. If it has come from Ukraine, then I think Ukraine have got a massive, massive problem. Simple as that.
It's either that or they've come from the Taliban, because they kept hold of quite a bit of weaponry as well, didn't they? So
They did.
It's come from somewhere.
All of this is not stacking up well for international relations and sort of peace
across
the world, really.
Not at all.
No.
So let's just say, you know, what's gone on here?
It's a mess, isn't it?
Oh, it's a total mess. Total mess. Hamas has made a series of unprecedented attacks in Israel. And Israel hasn't faced those type of attacks in its own territory since the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. And it hasn't faced a terror attack of that magnitude that has taken so many lives of civilians. While Hamas has kidnapped Israelis before, it's never before taken dozens of hostages at once, including children and the elderly. And Hamas are calling the operation Al-Aqsa Storm and said it was a response to what it described as Israeli attacks on women, the desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, and the ongoing siege of Gaza. So that is what has actually happened over there. It's bad news all around. And the biggest comment that I've got to make, and then I'm going to give way very quickly to Statsman, and it is that it always seems to be that the moderate religions are being attacked. The ones that supposedly don't want to eradicate any other religion, they're the ones that are always being demonized.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, what I want to do is I'm going to hand it over to Statsman now and get his viewpoint on it. Go ahead, Stats.
You know, after what I've seen from that Hamas attack, I tried not to watch too many of the videos, but since we were talking about it, I thought I'd better look at what I'm talking about. This isn't going to end well. And they've actually put ISIS to shame. And this, I don't want to go through what I've seen. I'm sure people have seen them. And this isn't going to end the way people want it to either. In fact, in my opinion, I don't think it's ever going to end. And for these reasons, you've got two sides. They both claim the land's theirs. Israel, their claims from over 1,000 years BC. And the so-called Palestinians through hundreds of years of Islamic conquest. But you've also got the religious aspect. The Bible and the Quran both say it's the home of the Jews. There's actually no historic record of any people called Palestinians with their capital as Jerusalem. And you've got Hamas, who are clearly waging holy war. I mean, their leader actually called for a day of jihad the other day.
Yep. And they said they were going to do it. When was it? On the Friday?
Yeah. And we've seen these repercussions of this holy war, haven't we, throughout Europe. The charter basically says, I'll just paraphrase because I haven't got it in front of me, but it says about killing, the day of judgment will come when the Muslims fight the Jews.
Yeah.
The trees and the stones say, there's a Jew behind me, Muslims come kill them. Now, sadly, this comes from Islamic scripture. It comes from the Hadith, which is the prophet, the example of the prophet Muhammad, second only to the Quran. And sadly, these horrendous killings, the chopping of hands, feet, heads, raping female captives also comes from scripture, the Quran. Sorry, yeah, there's the charter. Yeah, the day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews, when the Jews will hide behind stones and trees, and the trees and stones will say, oh, Muslims, oh, Abdullah, there's a Jew behind me, come kill him. So the media, I just can't see any end to this. The media keep saying that the people from Hamas, they're trying to separate them, the Palestinians from Hamas, but half the people actually voted for Hamas. And in June, there was a little bit of a warning here from the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research. They found there was a paradigm shift taking place with public opinion, and now there's a growing support for Hamas and an armed struggle. Now, there's a lot of support for them with Palestinian people. Now, over the years, I've seen at a young age that the Palestinian kids are taught to hate Jews. They even reenact killing them in schools. I've actually seen some hatred in Jewish schools, to be fair, but not to that degree. So how do we halt this? Because the next few generations, sadly, have already been brainwashed, and some of these soldiers fighting from Hamas are already young. I'll finish it off now. I just think it's impossible for them to live side by side. I just see no way this is possible. And I think the only way this ends is with the annihilation of one side.
It seems to be what
both of them are actually calling for now, which is going to go into a wider conflict. And it doesn't matter what people try and do. Throughout history, these jihadi groups who control Gaza and the West Bank and stuff have refused the two-state option. And Israel keep displacing Palestinians and putting them under strict restrictions. So everyone's got a claim to this holy land. This will never end, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's the sad, legitimacy really. Of the claim, before I come to Steve, is in question. And it will always be a massive question. Yeah. So in response to the attack, Israel has declared war and launched what they call Operation Swords of Iron, striking what it says are Hamas and Islamic Jihad targets in Gaza. It's also blocked supply lines of basic necessities to the Gaza population, including fuel and water. Now, I've noticed now that the BBC have changed its tack, and they're no longer talking about anything to do with the atrocious attacks on the innocent Jews in Israel by Hamas. They're not talking about that now. They're now shifting it, the emphasis, to the blockade and the innocent people and the innocent Palestinians. Now, the BBC, in my view, are totally and utterly the wrong people to be talking about bias and the way that they're shifting the emphasis. The wrong people. They should just shut their mouths and just report the news. But what they have done, and you can see it in their narrative, they have shifted towards the Palestinians. And that's having an effect, you know, on a lot of people's thinking. Remember now, they went in and they killed indiscriminately, murdered nearly 1,500 people. They just went out and they killed them.
Including babies.
Did you see the way they killed a lot of the people, though? Do you know what? Forget it, I'm going to say it. I've seen videos where they literally shove broken broom handles into their eyes. Yeah. They attempted to behead them with spades.
Yeah.
There's other things I don't really want to go into.
Babies. So can anybody...
I watched a room full of people who've had bits chopped off, standing there in terror while the people who were watching being chopped up.
Yeah.
Right, nah, so it's not good, this.
It's not good. No. I mean, two wrongs don't make a right. It's as simple as that. And between October the 7th and the 12th, Israel dropped 6,000 bombs on Gaza. And as far as I'm concerned, that's it. Now, if the Palestinian people cannot see that their own people are stopping them from getting out, because Israel gave them a warning, said, get out, get out. They gave them the warnings. And Hamas is actually stopping them from actually leaving. Lebanon are not taking them, and neither is Jordan. And there's only one route left, which is Egypt. And that's a little bit dicey for all of them. Go ahead, Mark, and then Steve.
I'll go quickly. It makes you wonder, why don't these countries accept them? I watched a video of a prominent Saudi writer who said the land belongs to Israel. It says so in the Quran. These people from Palestine are not Arabs. They've come from all different places, and we don't want them. He said he'd rather have tea with a Jew. You've got to wonder why the surrounding countries aren't supporting them.
Why won't they take them? Because there's so much land. And their own Muslim brothers and sisters. You know?
Because Hamas are like ISIS. They're evil.
Yeah.
A lot of Muslims don't want them. They want them in their country. Sorry, Steve.
Go on, Steve.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say my thoughts are with the people of Israel.
Yeah, definitely.
The next thing I want to say is an absolute condemnation of any individual or organization that refuses to pronounce Hamas as terrorist organization.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, what I don't like as well is the increasing reports of anti-Semitic attitudes, which are growing because of a media narrative or elements of the media in this country that have a narrative, as Jonathan has just described. I'm appalled by what we're seeing yet again is an appalling attitude towards Israel and the Jewish people. History has shown on many occasions how the Jewish community has been treated, and some of it has been appalling. I'm sick to death of seeing failures in this country to...
They've got a stamp on them and just say, no, why are they bringing it to this country? We have nothing to do with it.
That's right.
But why are they bringing it to this country
and causing conflict in this country? The point I'm making, Jonathan, what I'm saying is I'm not seeing from swathes of our own members of parliament people calling out Hamas, denouncing them as terrorists, and standing up for Israel and the Jewish people. I'm not really seeing that.
Let me give you a quick bit of information about Hamas. They're an Islamist organization with a military wing, and they've been emerging in 1987 out of the Muslim Brotherhood, a Sunni Islamist group that was founded in the late 1920s in Egypt. And they're competing with the Palestinian Authority. So there is politics going on there between those two factions, you know, within what they would term Palestine. And these people are such a turbulent people that, especially with Islamic extremists, there is no negotiations with them. They have absolutely no tolerance towards any other religious beliefs, and especially the Jews. And we get in this country, because it's over here, we get LGBTIQ people saying, we stand with Palestine. Well, let them go visit Gaza, and let's see how they get treated by the Palestinians over there.
Well, you raised some interesting points there, Jonathan, but my predominant concern is with the Jewish people, not only in Israel.
They're feeling frightened in this country now. Why?
Absolutely, and it's appalling. We come to the point again of the media perception and narrative of what's taking place, or rather the chosen narrative, shall we say.
Because they're saying that there's a human rights issue arising in Gaza now because of what has happened and the Israelis' response. And that's wrong, and that's what they're focusing on now.
I need to interject. Given the suffering the Jewish people have endured over the centuries, particularly the last century, I think if there's one nation on earth that has the very strong right to defend itself in any fashion it seems suitable, I think it's Israel.
Yeah, let them go. Let them do it.
You know, because at the end of the day, I'm sick to death of seeing this, and I think I'm ashamed of many of our politicians in this country and other Western countries who are not standing up for the Jewish people, to be quite frank.
And the question that I've got now is, could it lead to a wider regional conflict? I'm going to go to Mark now. Go ahead, Mark.
I just want to go back to you talking about it spilling out onto our streets. It looks like the authorities seem unable or unwilling to do anything about it. You've had police hurt. You've had Jews beaten. You've had massive support on the streets shown for a jihadi terror group. They've been flying their flags, singing songs that incite religious and racial hatred.
They've been applauding them, the murder of 1,300, 1,400 people.
You had Muslims like Mohammed Hijab and Ali Dawa walking around London saying, we're looking for the Jews, we're going to find the Jews. This is really bad.
That's like pre-war Germany.
What I was about to say is Hitlerian, this, isn't it? But there's some of the same people who are either turning a blind eye or supporting these jihadis are the very people who pretend all the time that everything's anti-Semitic, the far right are the biggest threat we ever face. The hypocrisy here is actually staggering. Now, normally, isn't everything? Everything's normally anti-Semitic. You criticise Israel, you're anti-Semitic. But the mass slaughter of Jews by Muslims on this occasion is freedom fighting. Now, you just mentioned it, I think, John. Jews don't feel safe here anymore.
No.
And that's not because of the far right. If someone can name the last time the far right in this country killed loads of Jews, I'll give them some money. As I said, it's very Hitlerian, isn't it? That makes sense, though, doesn't it? Because with the left. Because
and the Muslims the in this country, the Islamic people in this country are allowed to get away with, on film, telling them that we're going to take over everything and we're going to eradicate Christianity. In this country.
If this isn't the straw that broke the camel's back, then I don't know what is.
I wish Israel the best. I want them to win this. I want them to wipe out Hamas. I want them to wipe out Hezbollah. I want them to send a clear message throughout the whole of the Middle East. Islam does not work and we're not interested in it. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it straight out. It is the biggest problem that all countries have to suffer. Why do they have to come here? Why do they have to come into this country? Why can't they just stay over in the Middle East with all their brothers and sisters instead of coming over here and this government allowing them and paying for them? It's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Sorry to interrupt, Mark. I'm just fed up of it.
No, I totally agree. Multiculturalism, as they keep saying, has well and truly failed. And this needs rolling back ASAP.
Absolutely.
Cultural change. What does it bring us? It brings us a clash of different cultures on our streets.
Yep.
The police can't cope. It's destroying this country. And I'm going to say, when are we going to actually start taking this seriously? When are we going to finally admit that certain cultures and religions cannot coexist? And when will authorities stop being petrified of Islam because it's led to schoolgirls being raped for 40 years?
Yep, absolutely.
Targeted for the race and religion.
And they keep on hiding it.
Yeah, it's led to teachers and pupils in hiding, voter fraud, female genital mutilation, sadly to say, large numbers of handicapped children due to inter-family marriage, inhumane slaughter of animals, just to name a few. And this is going to spill out onto our street. Is this just another thing that we're going to be told, just live with it? Nah, it's unacceptable. Nah,
it's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate my personal support for the Jewish community in this country and other Western countries.
Okay.
I think it's absolutely vital that that nation has suffered and its people have suffered for generations and generations. And I think for any country in the world to expect Israel, given the suffering it's endured for centuries, to merely sit back and do nothing, given the recent events by Hamas, is absolutely ludicrous.
And also, let's not forget what Iran's doing, and that stupid man Biden give Iran $6 billion. I mean, what the hell was all that about?
Sorry, John. I think, to be honest with you, we're entering sort of rather worrying territory, to say the least, in terms of global stability at the moment. It's very concerning, to say the least. And I think...
What did he do? Did he make that decision while he was getting his nappy changed? Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Mark.
Hamas knew the repercussions of this.
Oh, yeah.
Every 5, 10, 15 years, when Israel are attacked with rockets, etc., they retaliate. Those bits in between, not that many Jews get killed, not that many Palestinians, but they know when this happens, it's all going to kick off. And they know then that more Palestinians end up getting killed than Jews because of the retaliation.
Yep.
So is that why they've done it? Again, to try and gather support, because it doesn't quite look like it's working for them, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to wrap things up and I'm just going to say, you know, it's time for Islam to take a dive. They need to be put in their place and sick and tired. Every problem, they club together. And Islam is the key answer. And there have been people in this country that have been cancelled for saying those things, because they are cancelled because they're telling the truth. Islam is the problem. Go ahead, Mark.
It's the dealing with the symptoms, not the disease. You looked at those protests. The police said, don't cover your face. You can't show these flags and these banners. But they all did. And the people who were arrested was like a lone man with a union flag.
A union flag. I mean, what the hell are the Met police doing? I mean,
what they're doing, John, is they're on Twitter now asking for people to give them information about all these people who are doing this stuff over these protests. Oh, and they're only answering selective questions. When people are actually putting them on the spot, they don't reply. Then they're posting pictures of someone who's got a face mask covering the face with a Hamas flag or whatever and saying, can you identify this person? It's not going to happen, is it?
Oh, yeah, we can do it from the eyes. Yeah. Mm. Had enough. I think everybody knows where our loyalties lie, and it's we stand with Israel, full stop. That's it. Okay, let's move on, and we're going to talk about the local issues, and that is that the council, CWAC, this is Mark's favourite council,
Cheshire West and Chester Council.
Yeah, that's the one.
Absolutely a bewildering organisation.
Yeah, indeed. A big organisation, actually. And also with a leader of the council that doesn't answer questions.
Or your emails.
Right? And they're warning of tough decisions amid a £47 million budget shortfall. Now, Mark, we don't think it's £47 million.
No, it actually says some of the shortfall will be offset by council income, including things like council tax of
£44.7 million. Up through the roof, absolutely.
Yeah, it says the authority also plans to make budget savings of £49.2 million, but that still leaves an outstanding shortfall of £47.4 million. So is it
what's
really
the
over
£100 million
there?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what they're
that's
not
what
telling.
I get from that, unless I'm missing something. Or it looks like it's a lot more, but if they manage to make some cuts, it won't be too bad at 50-odd million.
Well, they're saying the overall shortfall is predicted between 24 to 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but they made sure that they got their salary increases, though, didn't they, for the next 4 years?
Weeks after the election in May, they gave themselves their second allowance rise in 6 months. And clearly demonstrating that the British public, the local residents in Cheshire West, are not the priority in terms of getting through the challenging financial times for everybody. It's clearly to make sure that they themselves are all right and set up right to be able to cope with things.
Indeed. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, when I stood in that election back in May, I think it was on my flyer, was it not, that there was a 90 million hole to fill in the budget?
Yeah.
So it sounds about right, doesn't it? It's more than this. That's what they project it'll be if they make some savings.
Yeah, if the savings are effective.
Correct.
So this is just rhetoric, really.
Yeah.
You know, so the true figures are not coming out. So I'm just wondering, I mean, they always think that we're sitting here and we're knocking them. But the fact of the matter is that they're not transparent.
John, if they gave us something... if they gave us something good to say, then we would, and we have done in the past with a couple of things.
So that I'm going to bring into question... I'm going to bring into question the efficacy of the Standard, who reports their stories. Because their journalists are just regurgitating whatever they're told from the press department of Cheshire West and Chester.
That's why they wouldn't come on here, John, because we'd go further
we'd
into
demolish
it. We'd ask them.
Them
the questions that people want answering.
In fact, that
tells you everything, doesn't it?
In fact, we would welcome somebody from the Standard to come on so that we can actually get down to some nitty-gritty questions about their relationship with CWAC and who it is that they actually get all their information from.
Do you know, John, if the council would come on and they could prove that it was the government who weren't funding properly, et cetera, then maybe we could start taking it up with the government too.
Yeah, that would be the right thing.
Austerity, which doesn't even exist anymore. No. Right, there's a lack of funding, but is it like Birmingham Council? Now, they had a massive, massive debt, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then it was all blaming everybody else. But when someone actually looked into it, they found that Birmingham Council had paid out nearly £1 billion in payouts due to not giving out equal pay.
Yeah.
So I think a real close inspection is needed now of all councils' finances before this gets even worse. So we can actually go in there and look at what the reasons are given and see if they are the reasons.
Yeah. I'm getting very, very angry with Cheshire West and Chester because I don't think the full facts are being made public. And people have voted for nodding dogs on Cheshire West and Chester. They've voted for nodding dogs. And to be honest with you, the truth of the matter is we don't need that layer of government. We don't need it at all. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, interesting point. We spoke about this recently, and actually I think I agree in full. If you look at the amount of councillors, if you look at the multi-tiered system they've got, let me give you an example. Here in Blakin, the Blakin community, we've got three councillors, allegedly. Not sure what they do, apart from give themselves rises 2 weeks after an election. But in Blakin, to provide the local services, we not only have the local elected representatives, we have numerous quangos. We have a public-private partnership called Avenue Services Northwest Limited, a management company, which is 49% owned by the council and 51% owned by a social housing provider. And they get lots of money from the government and the council and various bodies. And all this money gets used to provide services. So we've got councillors, we've got elected representatives, we've got the council, we've got this public-private partnership with this management company.
Oh, it's complicated. It's complicated. It's just like, Steve, it's just like companies who have shell companies in other countries. They have certain deals with other jurisdictions. And then when you try to track where the money is going, it is a myriad of different things which are put up, which people haven't got time to understand.
Absolutely, but it's not just the finance. It's also the accountability in relation to any specific issue that's raised.
I mean, are they to blame for any of that $47 million deficit?
Well, the point I'm making here is you have multi-layered systems of representation, service provision, accountability, management companies, consultants, all kinds of different things that go on. Councils now are so overly bureaucratic.
Yeah.
It must cost a fortune. I mean, I've touched on a point there, actually, which has reminded me of a huge issue in terms of public finances, which is consultancy fees.
Oh,
now,
God.
If anybody looks at their own particular council and investigates and asks questions in terms of how much is spent on consultants, for which many of these projects never actually materialize.
Let's just make it clear for anybody listening.
It's horrendous.
It is arm's length decision making.
Yes.
Where the consultants, it costs the public a lot of money.
Massively. It costs massively. Now, I've heard lots of different stories about over the years of various consultancy fees and for projects in Cheshire West that have never happened. And I think this is a huge issue. So I think we should perhaps, you know, take a look at this and get some emails off. Assuming, of course, Cheshire West and Chester Council have somebody somewhere who might actually answer one of these emails, because the transparency and engagement is a little bit questionable. However, Louise Gittins, the council leader, is in a little video recently announcing that they're going to engage and have conversations with the residents of Cheshire West to do a survey, if you like, and find out what the priorities are over the next 4 or 5 years for the residents. And they're going to start having the conversation. Well, I would suggest to the council leader very politely that perhaps she should start by answering her emails when
asked about certain facts. Answering emails with very pertinent questions. And one of them, before I go to Statsman, is I want to know who I'm dealing with. I recently had an issue with Scottish Power, and all of a sudden I found out that, you know, the foreign call centres don't actually have to adhere to GDPR rules and legislation in this country. So I want to know why she's so frightened to speak to us. You know, we're just going to ask questions. We want to know. I mean, is she not capable of answering proper questions? Is she worried about coming on to speak to us? You know,
well,
Mark,
Jonathan,
go ahead.
Cover this.
One second, Steve. 1 second. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, Steve said they're going to go through and ask people their priorities. I think they've already decided them. The climate and diversity, which in my opinion has nothing to do with heritage, but they'll find a way to make it so. Go back to the finances quickly before we round off. Are there any black holes anywhere? Because I'm sure last time I looked, now the investments to pay the pensions did not cover what was meant to be paid out by a long shot, bigger than this figure they're mentioning here. I'm just going to go back and do my research.
What is it on the pensions? Is it around about 3 billion that they've got there?
It was a few years ago, that, if I recall. That's what
I'm not going to. I have reported on this before, but I didn't have time to look this up before we started, and I don't want to say any figures that are untrue. But I think I remember there being a bit of a discrepancy between the investments to pay the pensions and the actual amount paid off. It'd be nice if the council could come and explain all this and say, no, it's fine, this is this and this is this. And you know, but when you see one figure and it's lower than the other figure and you're thinking, whoa.
It makes you think that the reason that they don't want to come on is because they know that they're going to be talking to people who are intelligent enough to be able to ask them the serious questions.
Or maybe I've got this wrong and they can come on and educate me. Who knows?
No, I don't think so. Judging by some of the, you know, the quality of the counsellors that they have, I mean, it would be easy to bring some of them on and embarrass them, because all they do is just vote on a whip. They don't read the papers. They don't do anything. I would love to be able to say to them, okay, listen, we want to pick on a counsellor and we want to bring them on and we want to talk to them. And I can absolutely guarantee that those people will not know what they're talking about. I can guarantee it. Guarantee it. They won't know what they're talking about. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just want to say, in relation to all of this, I find the lack of engagement by public officials who are paid from the public purse shocking. And to be quite honest with you, you know, if you know, we've said this a number of times in the past in a different format, but to me, this is a very big point. If we have a council and a council leader, I mean, you've sent some communications off to the council leader and not had any response. Now, I'm just going to stay with this for one brief minute, if you will, because I think it's important. Now, the reason it is vitally important is because somebody in a position of running a council, or a councillor as such, has a lot of responsibility, not only to engage on an equal basis with all, to be inclusive, that's the first point, which clearly they're not, but also anybody who communicates with an elected representative is doing so for a number of reasons, and that may be to simply raise a small issue locally. It may be something much greater. It may be something very, very serious. The fact of the matter is, if somebody or a group of people or whoever they are being ignored and not responded to by a council leader, that's serious. Because what happens when there is a communication sent which is in relation to somebody's safety, their life, the quality of life, how they're being treated, do they ignore that? What else? The point I'm making is, what else gets ignored and who else gets ignored?
They're now, just busy headlining, giving houses to refugees and housing certain people. Migrants, it's all headlining. It's got to stop.
I'm sorry, John. I need to stay with this. We'll move on, but I need to say this. Anybody, and this includes you, you've sent communications to the council leader, who does not receive a response, are not only being cancelled by way of ignoring them, but also what they're doing is indicating that the person sending the communication, they're indicating that that person is a non-person. And in effect, what they're doing is they are isolating you. They are ostracizing
Well, they're isolating us, not me, because we were asking the questions.
That's right. Now, the point I'm making here is not necessarily specific to us. I'm talking in generic terms.
Okay.
Although we have a situation where that has happened to us. Now, the point I'm making is, do these people choose to ignore a communication based on the name of the person who has sent it rather than the content? Because if they do, that could be very, very serious and consequential.
Well, it could be very serious for them, because they don't realize that Cheshire Matters works in a lot of different areas and we talk to a lot of different people. and all we will do is just undermine. We will
cost innocent people their lives who are seeking serious assistance.
Well, I'm just going to make it clear. If they're going to actually act in that fashion, they're going to get undermined. And I don't mind saying that openly to the MP as well, because it's a Labour administration and we have a Labour MP. And I'm quite happy to open up a front on them to say, if you don't answer questions, we're going to start exposing different things that we don't like about you. And if they want that kind of argument, they're going to get it. And it's going to happen. Go ahead, Mark.
There was a consultation that I got involved in a few weeks back, and it was a licensing one. Now, I found a little bit in there that said the government and the council acknowledged that certain licensed premises that sold alcohol were involved in the grooming of children. Yet the government and the council both agreed that they should promote the use of licensed premises by children. So if I've recommended that the council have therefore got a duty to tell parents and children which premises are grooming children, how and why and all the details, so we can make those decisions wherever these children visit these premises. So we'll see, won't we?
Well,
but I already know the answer.
Yeah.
And I'll be totally ignored.
I get you.
It was anonymous, also, but now they'll know who it was. So they'll probably know who it was anyway.
But so as it is, okay, you know, all they're doing is building up problems. And we are going to name people and make them accountable. There is no two ways about that. And we will do it. We will doorstep them. We will call them on the phone. And we will ask certain questions, and we'll get answers on the show. They're actually building up a problem, because the PR team at Cheshire West and Chester are no match for us when we get going. And I think the MP will actually let them know that. So it's up to them.
Sorry,
go ahead, Steve.
Sorry to interject. I think the council do actually know that.
Yeah, well,
let's face it. Okay. They know we've all been involved in various things, but just one very quick point. I think it's important to emphasise that everything that you have done, Mark, myself and Trevor...
Legitimate. Completely legitimate.
...is always and always has been in the public interest.
Interest, always. All right, everything. Trevor mentioning about the debts at Warrington, they don't like it. Okay, but people have got to wake up and know about certain things that are going on. And I think it's about time that we just turn around and we just said to them, okay, if you don't talk, then we're going to start exposing and we're going to start telling people about certain things. And that's
it. Well, it's legitimate to do so.
And legitimate. And we'll publicize it. Not through the standard, but we'll do things, through private eye and through the national newspapers. Because it's a lot easier to do that. I mean, I love that little segment in Private Eye which has rotten boroughs. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the mere fact that none of those people, none of the councillors, are DBS enhanced checked.
I am.
Is worrying. I know you are. I am. Literally, those councillors are not. And that will be interesting if we can force them into actually DBS checking all of those councillors. And if we do that, that's going to cause a problem for them, I know. So let's see it. Let's call them out on it. Anyway, right, we know that this is the part of the show where Stevie gets his digital wallet out.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't think so, actually, because I'm doing that all the time. And to be quite honest with you, I've no longer...
What, have you spent all your money in Skegness? Go on, tell the truth.
Well, yes, Keg Vegas. Hey, we've got someone to show you there. This is for...
I don't want... No, don't do it. Put it away.
Wait there.
That's smaller than I thought it'd be.
Wait there. I've got this for our live shows. A little
yes,
bit of a
we're going to go live. This is the
advance.
This is the truth. We're
wait
going
there.
Live, ladies
wait
and gentlemen.
Wait there.
Oh, the suspense is killing me.
Get this.
Oh.
What's that?
It's a raven.
It's a raven.
Get out of here.
It is.
It's stuffed.
Yeah.
What have you got a raven on a little skull for? That's not
it's
you.
Sat on your head, landlord.
Really?
It's way better
I know,
than
I've,
that, Steve.
I've got to laugh at something because, I mean, that stuff just absolutely drives me wild, all those other subjects. It's as simple as that. It's a form of suppression. I hate it.
What's this?
What do you mean, what's this? What are you going to do?
What's a form of suppression?
what's going on, you know, around with local government and national government? They're not telling the whole truth about things that are going on.
No, it's a theatre show. I've known this for years.
But people, the mainstream people, are just getting on with their lives, and they don't realise that it is numbers which actually stops them dead in their tracks. If you've got the numbers to actually go and do something, that's it. So anyway, all right, okay, I'm ending everything now because I'm getting annoyed. I don't want to know any more about what's going on. That's it. It's the end of the show. It's been great without the gazelle.
Yeah.
Well, I've not really missed him tonight, to be honest. We've had...
He's not here.
He's not here. You know? So there you go.
Right, he's been on for about an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. It just goes to prove it's him that does it all the time.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, say goodnight, Raven. Just say goodnight. Goodbye. Well, whatever. No quotes, no nothing. Let's go.
You nearly called me out then. No, I'm not doing good night. It's too effeminate. Goodbye. Okay. And also, a big message to the gazelle out there, Trevor. Hope your throat is all right. I hope it's better. I hope you get properly well. Hope you're able to climb that ladder to success soon.
What, to change the light bulb in his kitchen?
Yes. Well, it's been there for a while, hasn't it?
You know? Indeed.
So, yeah, hope you're all right, Trevor. And, well, not really.
Okay, you know, hurry up, Steve, because there'll be no music.
You never
left.
Really wished me well when I was ill. But there you go. Nor the stats, man. So, enjoy a little bit of suffering for a few days.
Go ahead, stats, man. Say goodnight. He's taking up all the seat. See what he does. Go ahead, stats.
Go on, I'll say goodnight to all our lovely listeners and get well soon, Trev.
Yeah.
That wasn't sincere at all.
Was it?
Yeah, there was no sincerity at all. I'm just going to say, thank God all of that is over. I didn't like those subjects. I don't like talking about it because they anger me.
No, I don't.
They anger me.
I get frustrated, actually, because the international world is very unsettling at the moment, very worrying and very disturbing. And you get, take it down to local level and you have complete failure of local representation to do the right thing by residents.
Indeed.
They're all banging on about what's going on over there, but they're not doing their jobs properly over here. So
no, it's as simple as that.
Get our own house sorted out there.